Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And, you know, this is a mini episode, which is where we hear from you. We share your comments and your thoughts and answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts. We're just podcast hosts. And we do always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a doctor and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you want to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com. And today, we have a special guest joining us.
We sure do.
We like to sprinkle in guests in our mini episodes occasionally.
We do.
Like a little treat.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Lauren Morrell here. Lauren, did I say your last name right? I've always only ever read it on Instagram.
I know. That is correct. It's like moral of the story.
Okay, phew. You know, it's weird. Lauren is a writer. And, you know, like when I read an author's name in my, I just say it in my head forever.
I get it.
And I realize I've never actually like said it to myself out loud. So Lauren, let me introduce you to our audience. You're the author of 5 YA novels, and NPR called your latest novel, Better Than the Best Plan, a perfect summer read. Dare I say it's also a perfect winter read as we transition into fall. And Lauren is very active on social media. Mashable called her one of those rare authors who tweets more about others' books than her own. And her publicist would like her to tweet a little bit more about her own books, and she is working on it. She also Instagrams about makeup, and it is very, very satisfying. And Lauren spent 4 years playing roller derby in Boston, and she now lives in Macon, Georgia with her husband and her 2 sons. And dare I say, like, you are truly a fantastic follow for makeup fun and experimentation. You've like kind of just started dabbling in it, and now it's a very frequent topic on your Instagram.
Thank you. I, you know, my whole life, I never thought anyone would ever say that about me because I wore not a stitch of makeup. And now I'm 36 and discovering it like a 16-year-old, and I'm having so much fun.
Do you have any products before we get started on our listener questions, like any faves that have just sprung up for you in recent months?
Oh, yeah. So I just bought the Urban Decay Naked Honey eyeshadow palette, and I love it. I feel like I can do a lot of fun fall, warm, autumnal looks with it. So I highly recommend that. And I'm a recent convert to bronzer.
Ooh.
And I think the Fenty bronzer is awesome. Mm. Highly recommend. Mm-hmm.
You know, Fenty really snuck in there.
Oh, yeah.
She solid.
Sure did.
Yeah. Fenty. Yeah. So you know the drill, Lauren. We're going to read some emails, listen to some voicemails, and you will join us in weighing in. And we're going to kick things off with some responses to a previous listener who was very frustrated because they had no room in their life for self-care. They were a mom. They worked full-time. They were stressed. So this person writes in response to that. Hi, Kate and Dori. My heart goes out to the mom with 2 young kids who wrote about needing some ideas for self-care. That was me 2 years ago, and it is so hard. If she's looking for self-care, the one thing I'd like to suggest is this wisdom from my mom. Your shower is your new mini vacation. Tell your partner you are not available for 20 minutes and they need to deal with all catastrophes on their own. Lock the door, get some good smelling shampoo, shave your legs, and enjoy some hot water and time to yourself. This saved me and I hope it helps. Dory, have you found that as a new mom?
Shower is time for self-care. You know, my shower is kind of annoying in that I'll be taking a shower and then it'll turn really cold for a couple minutes then it'll turn hot again. So it's not like the most relaxing shower situation. but I hear this. I would like to get back into taking baths. I feel like that could be a relaxing thing, like after Henry goes to bed.
Yeah, just boil some water in the tub and get in there. Lauren, are you?
I'm a bath person for sure. Hot bath, good book. I shut the door and lock it. So, because my kids are old enough to walk in, so I lock it. And then I flip on the overhead fan. So if there's disaster happening outside the door, I can't hear it.
That's
so
smart.
I don't feel like I need to respond. And yeah, we have a clawfoot tub and I would live in it if I could.
How often are you bathing? Is that a nightly practice for you?
In the winter, it's more often because we live in an old drafty house. And so that's how I get warm is to take a hot bath. So more often in the winter. In the summer, probably once or twice a week.
Wow.
In the winter, man, if I could do it every night, I would.
That's genuinely impressive.
Yeah.
I will say the bathroom fan is a true self-care practice.
Totally.
Yep. The white noise, the grown-up white noise machine.
Yeah. And it just blocks. You're locked in a tiny room. You can block out whatever noise is happening beyond the door and just kind of take a moment for yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's actually how I started getting into skincare, is because I could shut the door and like pat things into my face. I had a one-year-old and I was like, I can't. I need some quiet time. And you can't look at your phone when you're doing your skincare routine because your hands are all greasy, oily. That's how I started down the wild path of, and I started listening to you guys at right about the same time.
Oh, well, look at that.
Thank you. We have another email here with some suggestions. Dory, do you want to read this?
Sure.
One? We shortened it a little bit.
This listener says, another option might be to look for gym memberships that provide childcare. The gym closest to my house, Lifetime Fitness, pricey but a fantastic facility, actually offers childcare as young as 3 months and excellent activities once the kids are over three. They are nationwide, so there might be a facility near you. Sometimes I don't even work out, but instead hide in the locker room / sauna and just have that time where no one needs anything from me. I also suggest talking with your spouse about splitting some of the responsibilities so that maybe you have time to yourself depending on what feels right for you. Maybe you get lunches / meals ready at night so you have some time in the morning. Does your employer offer any work from home opportunities, or can you ask to pilot a program? It could give you some time to throw in some laundry, do grocery shopping, run some errands, or sneak out for some you time. And truthfully, I actually felt more productive than when I would be at work. Even by taking your kids to the park, if there's one nearby, you can squeeze in some fresh air, run around with your kids / let them run around, do some squats / lunges while pushing them in the swing, or step ups / push-ups on a bench while they play on the slides. While it's not alone time, do you have a jogging stroller? Can you take one of your kids on the weekends for a long walk or hike? I also think sometimes we have to ask for help when it comes to our self-care. Hopefully you have a network of loved ones, family or friends nearby that you can lean on so you can help yourself. Maybe now would be a good time to join a local Facebook mom group. They'll have some great suggestions about trustworthy drop-in daycares or babysitters that will also give you some additional free time for yourself. Good luck. You're not alone and it will get easier.
A lot of suggestions.
A lot.
Our local YMCA has childcare that a lot of my friends use, and they will drop their kids off. Whether you have kids or not, you need to have a thing that's like, this is mine, bye. You deal with the shit that's going on in the house. I need this time.
Yeah. And for me now, it's, you know, I have a book club that I go to. I do bar classes. That's my new obsession. Yeah, I make time for that. And I don't ask for it. I just say, this is what's happening. I'm going to a bar class tomorrow at 9:30.
Wait, this is a good... I don't ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of how you have to be. Now, granted, this is assuming we all have partners. It can be especially hard if you are raising a kid without a partner to demand time. So I just want to acknowledge
We also have... I live in a smaller town, so not all the gyms have childcare, but there's an organization in my town called iStroll, and it's in many other cities where it's a workout that's meant to be done. It's a parents with their kids, and you bring them in a jogging stroller to do the running stuff, and then the kids kind of run around and are while you're doing the it's kind of like a boot camp style. And because it's all kids, it's not a big deal if you have to step out because your kid's running away or whatever. But it's a really nice atmosphere. And then built into that, they do, you know, like mom's night out and et cetera, et cetera. And it's a nice little community, and you get to do outdoor exercise without having to find a childcare for your kid because your kid's part of it. And like with the baby, sometimes, you know, you're lifting your little kid. That's part of your exercise.
I did stroller strides, which I think is very similar. So we received an email asking how to break up with a hairstylist, and people weighed in.
They sure did.
Including stylists, yeah. Which is very exciting. It's such an honor to know that you're out there listening. So one emailer wrote us, quick vote in favor of directness. Since the writer's current stylist is planning on opening her own shop, I'd recommend being upfront about choosing a new stylist. Opening a small business is a huge endeavor, and she might be counting on pulling over a certain number of clients to balance her operating costs. The writer stated she has a history of being consistent with her appointments, so I'd bet the stylist is relying on that business to move forward in her endeavor. In this case, I think it goes beyond simple courtesy to inform the stylist of the writer's intention to move on.
I had not thought about this, but this is such a good point.
Yeah, I hadn't either. Like that if you're starting your own business, you're like, yeah, I'll bring over these clients. Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, totally.
We had a massage therapist weigh in via voicemail. I'm just going to play that now.
Hi there. So I had to stop the pod. I'm on my way to a preschool board meeting. I'm the president, and I'm probably going to be late, but I just had to say this. Okay, for the caller who wanted to break up with her hairstylist, this is what you do. You find out the 1 or 2 days a week that she doesn't work, and all of a sudden, those are the only days you can come. And then you ask her for a recommendation for one of the ladies at the salon, who she should go to on Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it is that this hairstylist she's trying to break up with doesn't work. That's what you do. I was a massage therapist for a very, very long time, and anytime all of a sudden a client wanted to come in on the one day I didn't work, I knew what was happening, and that's fine. And I would give them a recommendation for my, you know, friend who worked across the street or whatever, and everything was fine. It happens all the time. Sometimes people come back, sometimes they don't. It doesn't matter. She knows what's up. It's not a big deal. It'll be fine. Okay, that's what I have to say. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Interesting.
Okay, so I love this advice from this person who, by the way, is being on their way to a PTA meeting where they're PTA president.
Totally.
That's cool. Your advice is to basically lie, but you're saying that they know that you're lying, like, right?
And my question is, what if she doesn't play along? What if she's like, oh, I can come in for you on Tuesday?
Then you're trapped. This is why you have to be honest in this situation.
That is the only thing that made me nervous about this advice.
Lauren, have you ever broken up with a stylist?
This is, I'm sure, horribly disrespectful, but I am team just ghost all the way.
The thought of having to
have the conversation is my literal nightmare. I can't.
Lauren, I was right there with you, and then I feel like I got shamed into...
I'm so sorry. Was it me who shamed you?
No, it was like a self-shaming, but then also you, because you're so nice, and I was like, oh, I'm being an asshole. I should not just ghost. But
so
Lauren,
I
you're making
did,
me feel better about this.
No, I think it's probably fine, and I did... When I moved here, I saw a stylist, and then I ghosted him. I don't even know why. I don't remember. He didn't give me a bad haircut or anything. I just did. And then, I think I just decided not to cut my hair for a very long time. And then I went somewhere else and got a bad haircut from somewhere else. And then I was like, I really want to go back and see Mitch. But it's been so long. And so I went back and I kind of was all, oh, I'm very sorry. It's been so long. And he said, oh, it's fine. We don't care.
Right. They know, right?
They're...
It's not like all the stylists of the world have no idea that people switch stylists.
Yeah, although I do think that this emailer had a point.
Yes.
In that this woman is starting her own new business.
Yeah, I thought that was valid.
And remember, this woman was also a family acquaintance.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. We have one.
Oh,
more.
See, that's different. Yeah. That's hard.
So a hairstylist actually called to weigh in. So I feel like they're the ultimate expert on this. So let's hear what they have to say.
Hi, Kate and Dory. This is Jolie. I live in Pennsylvania, and I'm currently cooking the stew. And I got this recipe from your podcast. I just love you guys. I am calling about the caller or the email about breaking up with her hairstylist. I am a hairstylist. I've been doing hair for 17 years. People stop coming to me. People stop coming to every hairstylist. It happens to all of us. This is not a unique situation. I've had customers tell me that they didn't feel I was the right hairstylist for them. I've had people ghost me. I've had to tell people that I don't want to do their hair anymore. The way I look at it is our job as a professional hairstylist to remain professional through any form of a breakup. So if I run into somebody in public who stopped coming to me, I say hello to them. I may even compliment their hair if I think their hair looks great. If somebody starts going to a different hairstylist in my salon, which has happened, I am friendly to them every single time they come in. It is our job to make the customer comfortable with whatever decision they make about their hair. So that's just my thought. And I love you guys. Hope you play my voicemail. Bye.
Well, we played your voicemail.
We sure did.
I mean, a hairstylist making the stew. Allison, past guest Allison Roman's delicious recipe, the stew.
I appreciate this perspective.
Yeah, me too. It was very no-nonsense.
Yeah.
You get it. It happens.
Yep.
That's
let's all
end.
Move on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a short break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use. And I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
And we are back. I love this next email partly because they addressed us as Cat and Door.
Cat and Door might be becoming our new nicknames.
Cat and Door.
I've always wanted to be called Cat.
Well, now this can happen for
finally.
You.
Finally.
So this listener writes, what is the ethical way to not spend time with someone who wants to spend time with you? I'm referring to a pal or acquaintance who keeps reaching out, but in your heart of hearts, you feel that you just don't click. I find myself making excuses and putting off the hangout, then ultimately agreeing to get together once in a while. Is there a kind way to say, I'm just not feeling this friendship? What do you reply when you get the text, hey, it's been forever. When can we hang out? Part of me believes it's a good deed to spend time with someone who may not have many friends. Another part of me does not want to inflate my sense of self-importance by believing that they need me. Nevertheless, when we spend time together, I feel neutral and not excited to do so, that I'm doing it for their benefit. Do we just keep hanging out once every few months until one of us dies? I love that ending.
That's quite an ending.
Lauren, do you have thoughts on this?
This is starting to, because I was team ghosting, and now my response to this email is making me wonder if I'm just stone cold in some way. But I just, to me, I would, if somebody texted me and said, hey, it's been forever, when can we hang out? I would just say, it has been forever. Gosh, life is just really busy right now. And then leave it at that, and then just keep saying it until they get the hint. I was also the girl in high school who was kind of like, maybe if I'm just mean and distant, he'll break up with me.
Ooh, the like forcing somebody else to do the deed.
I know, it's so terrible. But I mean, I would not hang out with someone that I didn't want to hang out with. I also probably wouldn't say, I don't actually want to be your friend, because that also sounds terrible. So I would sort of keep putting it off.
Yeah, I think you can kind of just say, like, you're right. Like, I would love to catch up over text, but I'm too busy right now with X, Y, and Z to meet up in person. Period. I mean, you know, like, I don't think there's any point in maintaining a friendship out of guilt.
Or pity. I mean, like,
yeah,
No one wants to be pitied.
Yeah.
I also think that when you're thinking about where someone else is coming from in situations like that, like, we create this whole life in our head for what they're thinking and doing, and it may not even matter to them. Maybe they're texting you out of what they feel is obligation. So, and they're just happy when you text back, nah, not right now.
Yeah, maybe they, so, they think they're pitying you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Both of you are doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, life is too short. You don't need to keep spending time with someone every couple of months until one of you dies.
Oh God, that sounds awful.
It does sound awful.
It does.
You know, and I think, you know, focus, but I also think there are some friendships that like are worth maintaining, but it can't happen as frequently as someone may like.
And that's fine.
Totally fine. All right. We've got a Trader Joe's shopper weighing in on something that recently has been brought to my attention that has kind of opened my eyes. They say, I wanted to chime in with one product that may be overlooked, toilet paper. For years, I purchased super soft toilet paper in bulk from Costco, but then I read a report from the Natural Resources Defense Council, NRDC, regarding sustainability in the toilet paper industry. It turns out that most big name brands, Cottonelle, Charmin, Angel Soft, are made using virgin timber. The companies that manufacture these brands are literally clear cutting the ancient trees of the Canadian boreal forests in order to flush them down the toilet. Anyway, the NRDC also issued a sustainability scorecard that ranks several national brands of toilet paper, and the 100% recycled variety from Trader Joe's got an A. No, it is not as soft as Cottonelle, but it's perfectly adequate, and I can use it without feeling like a tree-killing monster. I know you ladies and other listeners are all about taking whatever small steps we can to reduce our environmental impact, and this is a little change anyone can make. You know, someone, I was recently chatting with people about all the things I love to buy at Costco, and one of those things is Charmin toilet paper. And this person very kindly informed me of how not great that toilet paper is.
Yeah.
But I will say my butt loves that toilet paper.
Mm.
So this is going to take a lot of work on my part.
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking about the Forever 35 bingo card that we posted on Instagram.
Oh my God, you're right.
And one of the squares is Kate mentions her butt. So if you are playing bingo,
you got one. You're right. And I laughed at that in that I was like, I don't mention my butt that much, but I do. I do mention my butt. But I do. I like this suggestion. I mean, how have y'all been in your toilet paper consumption? Lauren, do you buy like recycled toilet paper?
I mean, I bought what was cheapest for a really long time just because it didn't occur to me to spend money on toilet paper. And then one day I was at Target and I was like, you know what? I'm going to try the fancy toilet paper. And I felt it is so much better. And
so much better.
This is a situation where my head and my heart are in different places. I know intellectually it's a good idea to use recycled toilet paper, but that's a hard one.
That's a tough one. You know, you can make changes in other parts of your life, I'm going to say. And if your toilet paper needs to stay soft, you know, none of us are perfect.
That's true.
Dory, are you like a recycled toilet paper master?
I am not.
Whoa.
But I have considered recently using... Kate is already...
I'm already putting my head in my hands.
Putting her head in her hands. I have considered using reusable, like, cloths... Is that so gross?
No, it's not.
I mean, when I had kids, my friend was telling me about how instead of wipes, she just cut a bunch of soft flannel cloths. And that was one of those good for her, not for me situations. But I mean, it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate this listener weighing in because this is something that I've kind of been thinking about changing and like understanding and maybe changing where my paper goods come from. Because I'll be honest, I haven't given that much thought.
So this next email... Another one that is very close to my heart that I will read. This year, I made the choice to not shop for new clothing. I only purchased an item if it was needed and couldn't be found in a friend's closet. I've managed to keep this under 10 items since January 1st. I'm starting to feel the itch for a switch in my wardrobe, but I want to be conscious of where I get my clothes. I reached out to my yoga studio and they are down for me to host a clothing swap. After asking, I now need to plan the whole thing, but I don't know where to start. Should I bring snacks? Wine? Yes. And how do I set up and get people to come? I have a vision in my head, but don't want to go overboard or make it too shabby and people not be interested in a messy setup. Okay. So I just got back from a weekend where I was on the clothing swap committee.
You helped produce a clothing swap.
I helped produce a clothing swap. And I have thoughts. One of those thoughts is you need someone to help you.
Okay. First, form a committee.
At least one other person. The second thought is I would limit what people can bring to one bag. Garbage bag, shopping bag.
Your choice.
To interpretation. But one bag. I think where we went wrong over the weekend is we let people bring as much as they wanted and people brought a lot of stuff that should have been recycled or donated to Goodwill. It was not anything that people really wanted and they just used the clothing swap as an excuse to like dump a bunch of crappy clothing. So to avoid that, I would say limit the amount that people can bring. The next thing I would do is You want to have like designated areas, I think, and have people sort their own bags. So you have like one area for pants, one area for sweaters, one area for dresses. And when someone comes in, they don't just get to like hand you their bag and then go look for stuff that they want. You say, okay, now sort your stuff and
smart
and have them put it in like the piles, or if you're bringing clothing racks, have them put in the clothing racks or boxes, however you want to do it. I mean, clothing racks, I think, are the best way to go, but that is also like another added hassle. you know, to get hangers and clothing racks and all that stuff. The last thing I would say is make sure you have a plan for getting rid of the clothes that are left over at the end.
Know where they're going to be, if they're going to be donated.
Are they going to be donated? Are they going to be recycled? Who is going to get rid of them? Are you equipped to take everything away at the end if there's a ton of stuff left? The other thing I would say is if when people are coming, have them also bring like a tote bag, or they could also use the bag they brought stuff in to actually quote unquote shop.
And I do think like asking people to bring their stuff that's like kind of has the least wear and tear.
Yes, not it, stained.
Bring it washed and folded. Yep. So it's not just hasn't been in a clump in your bedroom floor for 6 months. I think that helps because I try to think about it. It's like, what do I want to see when I'm going to a clothing swap?
Yep.
And like the nice stuff, the stuff that looked like it was treated nicely is what appeals to me.
Totally. Oh, also bring a full length mirror so people can try stuff
on.
Oh,
yes. Great idea.
I would also say don't bother like limiting the amount of stuff people can take, because ultimately you will probably be left with more stuff than people take. So you want people to take as much as possible.
What about snacks and wine?
Oh, yes. Snacks and wine,
yes,
of course.
Definitely
snacks and wine. Lauren, do you have other thoughts about clothing swaps?
I think she asked, or the email asked, how to get people to come. And when I have seen them done in my area, we usually just do a Facebook invite and then encourage people to invite others. And then that Facebook invite is a good place to put all those rules or tips. One of the things I've seen to get people to bring things that are nice is hold it up. And what you tell people is hold it up and imagine handing it to somebody. Would you feel good about handing this item to somebody? And if you would feel embarrassed by that, then maybe it's not a thing you should bring. You
That's
should just take it directly
advice.
To the Goodwill.
I love that.
That is such good advice.
That is such good advice.
Hmm. I want to have a clothing swap with all of you.
Yeah.
Let's take a short break.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, so we have a skincare question from a listener. They write to us and they say, I moved in May to live closer to my boyfriend and afterwards started getting breakouts, specifically on my chin. I have never had acne issues, and I'm convinced it's from kissing his face. He has very oily skin and I have very dry skin. Do you have any recommendations on how to tackle this? I mean, this is a twofold question.
Totally.
We've got to figure out where it's coming from and then how to solve it. Okay. We are all in heterosexual relationships with men. So I think this can apply to anybody you're kissing, but I will say that my husband, when he has stubble on his face and we kiss, that does cause me to break out a little bit.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But have you ever had the experience of kissing or being intimate with someone with oily skin and then having that cause a breakout?
Not that I recall.
No.
I mean, I
paid absolutely zero attention to my skin back when I was seeing other people. So who knows?
Has your husband ever given you a breakout?
No, I don't think so.
So this person said they moved in May to live closer to their boyfriend and afterwards starting getting breakouts specifically on my chin. What if it's the climate?
Mm. Also, isn't chin acne usually hormonal?
I don't know, but possibly.
I think I've heard that. Yes.
Yeah, I would examine other things it could be. Maybe you switched products. Could it be, you know, hormonal? Could it be whatever you're, I don't know, if you're eating a lot of cheese, I don't know.
It might be also worth, if you have the resources, to consult an esthetician
or
a dermatologist about this situation.
Yeah. Now,
I mean, maybe are they staying together more often and his detergent or he doesn't change his pillowcases and now you're breaking out on your face?
Oh, that's possible too. It could be. See, there's so many things it could be. I think the way you kind of figure out is by eliminating them one by one. And I feel like the last thing you're going to want to eliminate is your partner.
Right.
So I would look at other kind of environmental items or, you know, your
factors.
Space. Factors. Thank you, Dory. Mm-hmm. Now, you have very dry skin and he has very oily skin. I mean, y'all could work on your skincare together.
Ooh, that's romantic.
Just wash each other's faces and exfoliate. Lauren, what kind of skin do you have?
I have dry skin, very dry.
And as a person who recently got into skincare, do you have any product recs for this person?
Oh, man. I really love the Vichy Mineral 89. I think it's hyaluronic acid serum. Ooh. I use that.
Googling now.
And I am a... My two dry skin ride or dies that I have now repurchased like four times, the Biossance Vitamin C Rose Oil.
Ooh.
And oh, it's so good. And the Drunk Elephant Lala Retro Moisturizer.
Oh, people love
that stuff.
Those are good racks.
Yeah, it's very creamy, that moisturizer.
Oh, man, it feels so good. They recently changed it. And I got some samples and it seems like it's still good, but I am very nervous.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that is terrifying.
I know. They were like, I saw all over social media now with ceramides and I'm like, oh God, like, is that going to make me break out?
I love a ceramide though.
Do you love a ceramide?
Yeah, I do. Oh. All right. We have one last voicemail.
All right. Let's end on this note.
Hey, Kate and Dory. This is another Kate from Kansas City. And I was calling in to see how you guys or what other listeners do to manage when you just don't feel appreciated. I am a teacher in kind of the inner city of Kansas City. And unfortunately, it's just kind of one of those jobs where it's no perks. You don't really get to travel for work. You don't get really accolades ever. No one really, or at least where I'm at, it's just you do your work, even if you're doing a good job or shit job, it's just kind of is what it is. And I actually work between two schools, so right now I'm driving between my first part of the day and my second part of the day from the middle school to an elementary school as a art teacher. And I'm kind of crying in my car, just feeling, you know, one of those days where you feel overwhelmed and underappreciated. And I was just wondering what you guys do when you're in that spot and how you kind of take care of yourself and remind yourself that you're worthwhile. So sorry to get a little emotional there, but definitely wanted to lean on the pod community today feeling this way. So thank you so much. Your podcast is always a bright spot in my day, and I just love hearing responses and feedback and advice from other listeners. So thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, fellow Kate who feels underappreciated.
Yeah.
First of all, let's just say we appreciate you.
We do.
And I think... I mean, you have a hard job. Teaching is a really hard job. And I think teachers across the board are underappreciated. So let's just say we're really grateful for you. I think it has to come from yourself. You have to, you have to care. You have to do things that care for and nurture yourself. Special treats, whatever they may be for you. I mean, I know sometimes it's nice to feel appreciated from others, but when you're not getting that, I think it's got to be first and foremost from yourself.
Lauren, what do you think?
Oh, this one really broke my heart because I think I've been there a couple times in my life. I worked at a nonprofit where, you know, the mission can be so important that the people working for the mission sometimes feel very beaten down. And you can be made to feel very guilty that the fulfillment of your job itself isn't enough. For me, when I was in that situation, I really had to set clear boundaries when I was outside of work so that I could A, turn it off, and B, go find places that made me happy. So at that time I was playing roller derby and it was, you know, throwing myself into that and taking leadership positions there and being with my teammates and, you know, consciously not checking work email at night, really setting that aside. And then after I had kids and being you know, and Dory, you work from home, I work from home, and there will be days when you don't see anybody else or interact with other people. And so my husband's going to work and being told he's a superstar in all these ways, and I'm sitting at home with this kid who can only yell at me and feeling like, oh my God. And I'm a person who needs those words of affirmation. So, you know, I had to, A, if you have a partner, telling them, I really need you right now to give me those words of affirmation. That is what my soul needs at this moment. And then also when I had newly had kids, it was about leaving them and going out the door and finding places where I felt good and where I felt powerful and empowered. So book club or roller derby or a mom's group or even just going out with a friend. Those moments were really important. And drawing clear boundaries for me was key.
I mean, that's excellent advice.
That's great advice.
Wow. Hey, we can just end right there.
I agree. Lauren, this was such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was really fun. I appreciate it.
And where can our listeners find you and read you?
Well, my newest book is available wherever books are sold, Better Than the Best Plan. I encourage you to get it from a local indie bookstore or at the library. And you can find me on Instagram at Lauren Morrill.
And that's Morrill.
Yes.
And again, Lauren's great for book recommendations and face and makeup recommendations.
She does it all.
You do it all.
I do. Yeah. If you're looking for book recommendations, message me, tell me what you like. I am like reading is a thing I absolutely make time for. I'm on book 89 of the year.
Whoa.
So I'm a huge reader. So if you are looking for something, message me. I will give you book recommendations. It's my favorite thing.
Oh, hear that, listeners?
Yay.
Get in those DMs. Well, Lauren, thank you again. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. And we will be back next week.
Bye.